Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news. And just as he was raised bodily, so too we will be raised bodily. Mm-hmm. That is kind of the final piece of this salvation message that we have in Christ. We are first made alive spiritually. That's what new birth is all about. So the minute we are saved, the minute this grace of God impacts our lives and produces faith inside of us, and we respond and say, yes, Lord, God's Spirit makes us alive together with Christ. That's new birth. Well, God's Spirit comes to live inside of us, and that's a guarantee of what's up ahead. And what's up ahead for us who know Jesus is the bodily resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 talks all about that, and that's our great hope. Now, in light of that good news, there's this question. So what's the resurrection body going to look like? That's exactly what Paul asked in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 15. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? So we want to know the process. Mm-hmm. What is that going to look like and all of that? How is it going to happen? We all have some sense of engineering inside of us, and we want to figure out the hows. And then the second question, with what kind of body will they come? What's this body going to look like? Is it going to be somewhat like the old body, or is it going to be completely different? We get the question on the broadcast quite often, will we be able to recognize each other after we're raised bodily? And I think the answer to that is yes. But we want to go through some of the truths and important things that Paul talks about toward the end of 1 Corinthians 15. So in answer to this question, what kind of body will they come? Well, it's not going to be a natural body, but it's going to be a spiritual body. And here's some of the characteristics. It's going to be sown perishable. It's going to be raised imperishable. So this body that we're housed in today is perishable. It's going to die. That's just the nature of these bodies that we have. And the reason they're perishable is because of sin and death.
Yes.
Sin came into the world, and it took all of those things that were imperishable upon creation and turned them into perishable items. These bodies are constantly decaying. We recognize that every year we get older. The things that we could do last year, we're not quite as good at this year. The body just doesn't function the way it used to. So perishable becomes imperishable. Dishonor is raised in glory. Wow, that is incredible. I mean, we look at these bodies of ours, and we see dishonor written all over it. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a time through resurrection that this dishonor is going to become glory. There's going to be weakness. We certainly understand the weakness of our bodies. We can't fight the diseases and all of the things that are here. But there's going to be a day where it's going to be raised in power. It's natural now. That's how it was given to us upon physical birth, a natural body. It's going to be raised a spiritual body. And I love what he writes in verse 49, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. That's Jesus Christ. So in exactly the same way his body was raised back to life, our bodies are going to be raised back to life. It's not the same body. Flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We have to have new bodies. And that's the hope of the resurrection. And that's why Paul concludes this with such victorious words. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And then he concludes with this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our enemy was death. Our enemies were sin and death and Satan himself. Jesus has conquered all three through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because he conquered them, we can live victoriously today, and we can expect total and complete victory upon resurrection from the dead. That's why this gospel message is such good news, and that's why all of it hinges on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, that he was raised from the dead. He was the first fruits, and his resurrection guarantees ours. That's great news, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. And look at the contrast in today's world. One of the really popular ideas floating around is called transhumanism. And what that really means is humanity is trying to find a mechanical means to immortality. So, you know, my muscles and bones and all of that decay, but I can come up with a machine and a computer and get them small enough and powerful enough that I can, in effect, go on living. Now, one of the positive outgrowths of this is for artificial limbs and things like that. I can understand that. But the people who are pushing this are substituting mechanism for what is promised to us in Jesus Christ. There could be no stronger contrast between the world system and what we've been offered in Jesus. Jesus offers complete restoration to what we had in Eden, and we come up with the worst kind of imitation you can imagine.
Yeah, immortality is the longing of our hearts.
Yes.
As Ecclesiastes said, God has placed eternity in our hearts. We long for immortality. There's only one way for that to be accomplished in our lives, and that's through the resurrection,
yes,
of Jesus Christ. Only those who know him will truly take what's mortal and see it become immortal, mm-hmm, through this resurrection.
Yes.
So that's good news. And we would love to talk more about that with you. We invite you to join us on today's broadcast by calling 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. We have plenty of open lines right now, so go ahead and dial that number. Jump online with us. I want to remind our listeners that the month of April is winding down. We just have today and tomorrow for our special resource offer, and that is a CD series that I did on resurrection. It's called Resurrection Power for Daily Living. So many of us live frustrated Christian lives. We resign ourselves to powerless, unfulfilled existence. We know that when we die, everything's going to be okay. But until then, we just try to do the best that we can. We are miles and miles away from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promised, and we don't understand why. And so we just hope that that's going to be a blessing for us when we die and go to be with him. But the truth is, we can experience an abundant life here and now.
Yes.
And the way we do it is through resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. As believers, that power is inside of us. And as we learn to tap into that power, we can see that power lived out in us and truly experience abundant living. So if you are looking for something more, if you were longing for fulfillment and satisfaction and contentment in your Christian life, this is a wonderful resource. We want to put it into your hands. It is called Power or Resurrection Power for Daily Living. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel today and tomorrow. All the information on how to get a hold of this resource is available online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. There's just a big icon right on the homepage. Click that, and follow all the instructions, and we'll send this to you as quickly as we can. Or you can call our toll-free order line. Talk to Billy. She loves talking to our listeners. She's just one of the most delightful ladies you will ever meet. And you can reach her at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. That's Resurrection Power for Daily Living. And now let's go to our phone lines. But before we do, we'll remind our listeners of the phone number, 1-800-677-9377. Call us. Be a part of today's Basic Gospel broadcast. Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk with Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you today?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I actually have a question somewhat related to what you were discussing earlier. My question is, with regard to when a person dies, what does the Bible say about where they are at this moment? Because I have a little bit of confusion regarding that, because I know that I've always been taught and have said many times that when Jesus returns, he's going to raise the living and the dead, and I'm a little confused exactly where are all the people that have already died. Does that make sense? Am I saying it the right way?
You're asking it exactly
yes.
the right way. And there's
okay.
a couple of things that I would point you to. First to Calvary's Hill, where Jesus was crucified, and he was crucified in between two criminals. One mocked him and scorned him. The other pleaded for mercy. And to that one who pleaded for mercy, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So where did that particular person go upon death? He went exactly where Jesus did, to paradise. And so that person was with Jesus. Now, Paul, I think, touches on that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he makes a statement. He says, "I prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." And so we come up with this idea of absent from the body and present with the Lord. So what happens to a believer upon death? They depart the body. When we look at a body in a casket, we know the person who once occupied that body is no longer there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where is that person? Well, to the believer, he is absent from that body and present with the Lord. So he is in Christ's presence at that moment. And there's going to be a resurrection of the body going from a state of mortality to one of immortality, a state of being perishable to one of being imperishable. And that's at a point in the future. And that body will be raised unto eternal life. Just at as the Spirit has already been raised through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's going to be a glorious moment in time. Now, one of the things that we get confused with, Beth, is trying to kind of couple our present time with God's eternity. It's kind of hard to kind of let our minds cross over into those two different realms and try to meet them up and try to connect all the dots with that. That's difficult for us. So here's the best way I can describe it.
So let me make sure I am following you. So right now, I've always believed as well that when you die from the body and are separated from your body, that you go to be with Jesus in paradise. I understand that part, but you're saying that the resurrection that I'm speaking of is in the future, where the physical body would be raised again.
Yeah, the physical
body
joined
with the spirit that you want, that you, the spirit that you are, is going to be rejoined to your old body when it's resurrected to eternal life
with your spirit. So you would go to be with the Lord in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Upon
mm-hmm.
physical death, there's going mm-hmm. to be a resurrection of that body at a future point, and that's when the salvation process is totally complete. That's when we experience complete victory over the greatest enemy, and that being death.
It won't be the old body, though. It won't be the same body that went into the grave. It will be this completely restored body.
Okay, so I understand that. If you don't mind, may I ask one more question?
Certainly.
Okay, now, for the people that were alive during Old Testament times, prior to Jesus coming to the earth, what is the story with them in terms of where, I understand New Testament, New Covenant, New creation. I'm just saying now in terms of Old Testament.
Yeah, where's Moses right now? That's right. What we want to know.
I'm not even thinking of Moses, actually. I'm just thinking about a regular guy, like a regular person that didn't necessarily didn't have this new gospel, this good news that we have the privilege of living during the time after. What about the people that were alive before?
Well, Beth, anyone who...
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Anyone who preceded Christ... they were saved in exactly the same way that we are, by grace through faith. So there's always been this story, this revelation of truth that God has given to mankind. There's always been this promise of the coming Messiah. And so like Abraham, when God told Abraham that through him the world would be blessed, that through his seed, the world would be blessed. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So there was an initiative that God took. There was a response in the heart of man, and that was salvation. And so righteousness was credited to Abraham, and it was credited to anyone who believed as Abraham did. Now, when they died... there was a special place, we will say that's paradise. It would have been the upper regions of Hades. We see this in story form in Luke 16. Jesus tells that story of the rich man who is in the lower regions and then someone else that's in the upper regions, and there's this chasm. And so we take from that that there was a place for the saints, a holding place for the saints, and then there was a place for those who died in rebellion toward God. And when Jesus died, he went and announced to those saints of old that the work had been finished, and then he ushered them into his presence. So just as the thief on the cross went to be with Jesus in paradise, all of the saints of old went to be with Jesus in paradise at that time as well. And when we die, we will join them. Those who died in rebellion toward God, they're left in that lower region of Hades. At a point in time, they will be called out, and they will stand judgment at the great white throne judgment, and their final eternal destination will be declared at that moment.
I understand. Thank you so much.
I
really appreciate that. You explained that so well to me. And it seems like such a basic question, but it really helped clarify a lot of things that I read all the time in the Bible, but I always have that in the back of my head wondering a few times about where exactly people are. I don't know why specific location helped to clarify for me, but it did.
Yeah. Well, glad you called, Beth.
And thanks. I have to tell you, I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you so much. Beth. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of our resource for this month just for being on today, okay?
Thank you so much.
You hang on. Well, let's go to, is it LaVon? LaVonna?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Basic Gospel. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you.
How can we help you today? What's on your mind?
Well, I hope you didn't answer the question while I was getting hooked up to you. You were talking about the Old Testament before Christ came, and you were talking about what happened to the Israelites, but what about the Gentiles that did not have the Old Testament and God was not communicating with them?
Well, Ivana, there actually was communication to the whole world. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1, and I think this is a very key passage for all of us to really embrace and understand. Ever since the beginning of time, ever since God spoke and things came into being, there's always been evidence of God in this world, in this universe. Like I said, Paul, I think, really nailed it in that first chapter of Romans when he wrote this: "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." So evidence of God's existence has been around since the very beginning of time. And anyone who is observant, who has a keen eye as far as nature is concerned, will know that God exists. And so they're without excuse. So when we read the Old Testament, we see Gentiles who have made that observation, who have aligned themselves with the Jewish people, Rahab the prostitute. She was a Gentile woman, but she believed God, and it was credited to her as righteousness. And she's talked about in Hebrews 11 when the writer of Hebrews talks about all the Old Testament saints. So there were other Gentiles that found their way into faith just by their observations of what Paul wrote here in Romans chapter 1. And for all of those who did, they were preserved. And when Jesus finished his work, they would have been ushered into his presence at that time as well.
Do you have time for one more question?
Quickly, yes, we sure do.
Okay, you mentioned paradise. Now, I'm wondering if paradise and heaven is the same place, because Jesus said after he rose from the dead and was talking to people, I don't remember just who, but he said, "Do not touch me because I have not yet gone up to my Father," mm-hmm. So which would be in heaven.
Well, paradise.
He did go down below.
Yeah, paradise now is where Christ is. Wherever Christ is in the heavenly realm, that's where paradise is. It was the Garden of Eden initially. That changed when sin and death entered the world. And then it changed again when Christ finished his work. And now that paradise is in his presence. So,
but the 3 days, he did not go to heaven the 3 days that before he rose.
Well, his body was dead in a grave, but the spirit of Jesus was alive. Of course, that's a huge theological,
yes.
Conversation. That is, I think, way too deep for us to really fully understand what it is. But the writer of Hebrews made a statement that Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, entered into the heavenlies and offered his blood once and for all to the Father. It was received by the Father that satisfied him, and that's where propitiation took place in the heavenly realm. Again, it's a very deep, dense theological conversation that is pretty difficult to really fully grasp and understand. So we know the body of Jesus was laid in a tomb, but the spirit of Jesus went to be with his Father, and that's where that thief on the cross went, to be with him in paradise. Well, Ivana, great question today.
Yes,
certainly appreciate you weighing in on today's broadcast. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for all who joined us today. We'll be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. It'll be our last day on this wonderful topic of resurrection. You know, of all the topics in the Word of God, I think the resurrection is my very favorite. I mean, I get pumped about that. When I was a kid in high school, one of our Bible study leaders challenged us to prove the resurrection. And ever since that, I've had a fascination with this subject. And I think it's something that we all should have a fascination with, because Our whole faith hinges on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and that he was raised back to dead. Well, that's going to be our topic for tomorrow's broadcast. We'll look forward to seeing you again at that time, same time tomorrow, for Basic Gospel.